are my refuge and strength. It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1.
Put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
This is BJ, and I would like to welcome you to our show, Just Stuff. This show is about ordinary people just like you, just like me, combining our efforts in a positive way to make our community better, one day at a time, through conversation, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show. Good morning, everyone. This is BJ with Just Stuff, welcoming you to our show. I am so glad that you are able to join us today. As we know, this month, February, is dedicated to Black history. And we as African Americans have a great role in history. This is a time we celebrate Black achievements. Personally, I think that the celebration of Black achievements should be ongoing. It is important to know our history and realize that our forefathers journeyed on and eventually affected change so that we could continue the legacy of change. We can get history from stories, the stories of our elders, or we can read books. Reading a book is about our history, and being about our history will bring us to a new level. Today, I have with me two ladies that will answer questions about reading our history. Even if you don't like to read, it's necessary, folks. Today, my guests are...
My name is Patricia Davis. Most people call me Pat. I am a retired librarian from Rockies Parish School Board. It is such an honor to be able to share with you some of the things that I have experienced and some of the things that I have been taught about Black history.
And my name is Carolyn Clarkston. Most people call me Sue. I also am a retired librarian from Refuge Parish School System and love reading and have been trying to instill reading in children and adults for years. Pat and I, after we retired, we started an adult book club at our church, and we continue reading and encouraging people to read. So I also am very happy to be here with you, BJ.
Thank you so much, ladies, for being with us today. Thank you so, so much. Now, why do you think it is so important for African Americans to gain an interest in our heritage?
Well, I think that it is very, very important for African Americans to gain an interest about Black history and our heritage. It gives us an opportunity to teach or to recognize the value of our history. It also gives us an opportunity to look at some things that we face every day in life. One, racism. Two, stereotypes of Black people that we see on TV, mm-hmm. in movies, and in the news.
Mm-hmm.
But most important, it gives us an opportunity to evaluate the similarities and differences in all cultures and people. Amen.
Amen to that. Amen to that. So reading is very important, and reading about our history is very important. Now, how can we help our children? Oh, Lord, how can we help our children to gain an interest in Black history? Because, you know, sometimes our children don't like to read that much. And so how can we help them to gain an interest in Black history? And then do you think having a conversation with our children is a motivator?
Well, we can help our children gain an interest in Black history by exposing them to literature and films about our history. Take them on little field trips, family field trips to museums, African American heritage museums here and in other places. Let them talk to their elders in the family, because the elders are aware of their personal heroes and stories, and it makes it real for them.
And
when we're talking to them, you say by family conversations, we tell them about their ancestors and give them personal family stories. That's how Alex Haley got interested in his family history and ended up writing a very powerful novel that became a miniseries, Roots.
Mm-hmm.
So we make them interested in what we're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
When our children see us doing things like reading or fixing something or gardening, they naturally say, well, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And they take an interest in it. But they don't, if they don't ever see us picking up a book to read or sharing a story with them or taking an interest in something specific, Black history or anything else, then they're not going to be interested in it. So that's how we get them to be interested in Black history, by showing them that it's important to us.
Mm-hmm. And should we choose books for our young people to read, or should we allow them to, you know, just take them to the library and give them a section and allow them to choose the book that they want to read?
Wow, that's a powerful question. I feel that we should allow them to choose the book that they would like. I'm going to give you a good example and something that everybody can relate to. If you and I both went to the store to buy dresses, I might get one dress that I like, and you would get something completely different because the dress that I got is not to your what you like.
Mm-hmm.
But the same thing happens with most things in life, and especially in choosing reading material. All of us have different desires, different needs, and many of the books that I would choose for a child may not meet that need that that child has.
That's true.
Or he or she has the opportunity to choose the book that he wants, it's more than likely that the child would actually read the book.
Mm-hmm.
The same with the dress. If I chose a dress for you, you may not wear that dress. But if you choose your own dress, more than likely you are going to wear that dress. The same thing with the books.
Mm-hmm.
It's all personal needs and personal desires. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right. Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you know, the parent sees what the child has chosen and
right.
See what they're interested in. That might open up more conversations about different subjects that could lead to even more reading and wider range of books.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a connection there. The important thing is that they're reading.
Right.
And the other, pardon me, the other thing is if they're getting books in a library, those books are books that have been chosen and are appropriate for the child.
Mm-hmm.
Libraries as a whole would not have reading materials that are not appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So would it be a good idea to, you know, after they choose their books, to sit down with them and, you know, read the book with them, or just let them read the book and then come to you with things they don't understand, or have a conversation about the book when they finish reading, or what would be the best way?
I feel that can work many ways. I would allow my child to read the book.
Mm-hmm.
I would also choose books that I would like to read with my child.
Yeah.
And if my my child has chosen a book, and I'm talking about my child as if I have any that young. Excuse me, but anyway, I would love to just sit with my child and discuss the book, even if he has chosen the book. Mm-hmm. It's okay. We can still read it together, or if he would like to read it by himself and then discuss it. But always discuss the books that your children are reading. It's a great opportunity to connect with your children.
Yeah.
It's a great opportunity to see what they are interested in. It's a great opportunity to do things together. So there are plenty of plus to doing this together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It forms a bond, you know.
Yeah.
And I enjoy sitting down and reading books with my little grandson.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say, "Oh, aren't you interested? And don't you like these Hot Wheels cars? Look, here's some books about Hot Wheels. And let's read it." And so, you know, it helps. It's a connection.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know, it's fun.
Mm-hmm. And it won't be boring to them because,
right,
like you said, Sue, it's a connection,
mm-hmm,
and it's a bonding with our children. Do you think that most of the information that we read about Black history is factual?
Well, it depends on the source. You know, just Black history, just like any other subject, you got some things out there that's not true, some things that's not. That's why it's important to not just take everything at face value.
Mm-hmm.
We have all kind of ways to check backgrounds now. You can Google it. There's something called snoops.com that you can check and see if some information is true or not that's on social media.
Mm.
You can talk to people. You can attend workshops or classes, read books from that era. There's all kinds of ways you can back check something to make sure if it's true,
mm-hmm,
or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it with Black history and anything else. It's important to know the facts.
So a lot of people some people don't like to read. So how can we inspire other people to read, for information? Because I used to be like that. I didn't like to read. I did not like to read. And, and when you don't read, you listen to what other people say, but you don't have all of the facts that you need. So you need to read so you'll know if the person that you're talking to is telling the truth, and whatnot. So how do we inspire adults to read, or other people that don't like to read?
Well, one way you can inspire people to read is to do a book talk. Just give them enough information to get them interested, and by all means, don't give the end of whatever you're reading. And that's if it's more or less a fiction book or a biographical book. However, if it's an informational book, and I'll just say this, if it's a book on cleaning tips, and I'm speaking or talking to you, and I say, "Girl, I have this great book that tells me how to clean and get it done quickly." And your question to me is, "Oh, share that with me." I say, "Well, I can't remember, but I'll give you the title of the book and you can read it." And that's another way. There are so many ways we can inspire people to pick up a book and read. But the best way is to pick up their interest, just to give them a little bit,
mm-hmm,
enough to make them want to go and check this out for themselves, has been a great, great way that I've used to get people to read.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have to make sure that the books that you're recommending to them is something that's easy for them to read.
Yes, yes.
People read on different levels.
Excuse me.
I wouldn't recommend a book that has has a big, large vocabulary to a little 5-year-old, and in the same time, you know, you have books in different formats now. You have audio books where they can listen to the book.
Mm-hmm.
You have books that read to children and read to people. Like, I'll use my little grandson, for example. When he was real little and wasn't reading very well, mm-hmm. we would pick a book, and they got this website called EPIC, E-P-I-C, mm-hmm. with an exclamation mark that has thousands of books on different subjects for children. It's only $8 a month. And they have some books on there that are books that show the book and read the book to the child at the same time.
Oh, okay.
And then plus it highlights the words as it goes along. Well, we started off with that, and now, you know, he'll pick a book that he likes and he'll just read it now. But that's how we started out. And then sometimes he'll go back to those read to me books,
mm-hmm.
you know. And they have audiobooks for adults too. And so the main thing is get something you can read easily and it won't be a struggle to read, and something that's interesting, something that you need to experience and know about, you know. And book talks, just like Pat said, give little snippets of interesting books.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a movie will get a person interested in a book. They'll say, oh, okay, they made a movie about this. Let me go back and read the book they went with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all kinds of ways.
Mm-hmm. Those are very good ideas. Very good ideas. Now, what adult books and what children books would you recommend as starters for adults and children?
Well, I can tell you about some of the adult books that our book club has done over the years. We started our book club at church almost 10 years ago, and we read a variety of books, not just by Black authors and with the African-American experience, which mm-hmm. I'm going to take by some of those today, but, you know, a variety. And so I'll give you some of the African-American themes and authors that we have talked about mm-hmm. over the years. Just mm-hmm. a few, just a snippet.
Okay.
It was one lady that used to live around here. Her name is Suzanne Boykins. She's originally from Marksville, and she's a wonderful author. Matter of fact, she was our guest at our book club one time before the pandemic came. She lives in Texas now. She's written two great fiction books based in Marksville, Louisiana, about this family, this African-American family during the 1930s, and what all they went through with racism, discrimination, and just personal ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
The first book is called Waters of the River Red, and the other one is called Loving Josephine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, we enjoyed those two books, didn't we, Pat?
Yes, we did. wonderful titles.
Couldn't put them down. So Suzanne Boykins, that's one African-American author we really enjoyed mm-hmm. for the adults. Another one, this is a true story about a lady named Antoinette Tuff, T-U-F-F. She wrote her autobiography, and it's called Prepared for a Purpose. I don't know if you remember, but back in 2013, they had the story about this elementary school in Atlanta, Georgia, the Ron E. McNair School, where this young man walked in the school with an AK-47.
Yeah.
Well, Antoinette Tuff, that was her school. She was sitting in the office, and when he walked in there, she was the only one between him and 870 elementary children and staff members. And God had prepared her for that with her life. She had had a tough life, some hard times, and she had just prayed that morning, Psalm 23. And what happened was she talked that to that young man with the gun, just like a mother would talk to a child. God gave her the words to say, to express empathy. And he put down his weapon, gave himself up, and nobody got killed.
And she said
God was the one that led her to, he had prepared her for that purpose. And it was her Christian faith that led her through.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another excellent book. She's a hero now. She goes around giving inspirational talks.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Another excellent book this is a true story too. Two African-American sisters who both lived to be more than 100 years old, the Delaney sisters, and the name of the book is Half an Hour's Say, the Delaney sisters' first 100 years. Oh, I tell you, those two sisters, Sadie and Betsy Delaney, they lived from the time of the beginning of Jim Crow all the way through the 1990s. So they experienced Jim Crow, the Civil Rights Movement, segregation, even a little tidbit of slavery from their ancestors. And they could tell you about everything.
But one thing
about them, they said that Jim Crow and nothing else was going to stop them from being all they could be. So Sadie, her ambition was to become a high school teacher. And back then, they did not allow black teachers to teach high school. And so what she did was, she sent in her resume to the New York school system. And they accepted her resume and hired her. But she would not go in for the interview, because if she had gone in for the interview, they would have known that she was black.
Yeah.
So she just showed up on the first day of school, and they couldn't do nothing but better go in there and teach them. They didn't have no sub. And that's how she became the first black high school teacher in New York.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and her sister Betsy wanted to be a dentist. So Betsy attended the Columbia University in New York for dentistry, and she was the only black woman in that class. Well, she had this professor that kept giving her an F on everything, even though she knew she had done excellent work. So what she did was, she got one of her white classmates who was a friend of hers, and they switched papers. Yeah, that's just what they did. And when her white friend turned in Bess's paper with the white friend's name on it, professor gave the paper an A.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
So after class, they confronted him with that, caught him red-handed, and threatened to go to the higher-ups on him. And he stopped doing that, and Betsy graduated from the School of Dentistry in 1923.
Oh, my.
For many years.
That's wonderful.
So they made this. They wrote the book, Heaven I Say. They made a Broadway play on it in New York. It traveled for many years. They made a movie. You can get it on Amazon Prime about having our say about the Delaney sisters. And Betsy Delaney, she passed away in 1995 at the ripe old age of 104.
Oh, my.
And her sister, Sadie Delaney, died in 1999 at the age of 109.
Oh, my.
So those are three books that
I you make me want to go just pick those books up and read.
That's the whole thing.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my goodness.
Other quick books I want to tell you about for adults that's really good are we had The Lines of Little Rock. That's a story about a little black girl that was passing for white in an elementary school back during segregation. And when they found out that she was really black, well, then that's where the story takes off. That's The Lines of Little Rock by Kristen Levine. I bet y'all thought that Rosa Parks was the first one.
No, I knew that she wasn't.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you know that vibe?
No.
I knew that she wasn't because I read that book.
Oh, my. No, I didn't know.
She was not the first one to refuse to give up her seat. The first one was Claudette Colvin.
That's right.
Claudette Colvin, when she was 15 years old, was on a segregated bus in Montgomery, Alabama, 1955. And she refused to give up her seat to this white woman. And they dragged her off the bus, arrested her for assaulting the two policemen who dragged her off the bus.
Right.
And refused to let her go back to school. Well, the civil rights people didn't use Claudette for their purpose because she was too young, and plus she was pregnant.
She got pregnant.
And she got pregnant. And you know, her reputation would be a barrier to them winning the boycott. So they used Rosa Parks instead. She was older. She was more mature, and she had a stellar reputation.
Right.
Claudette went on to live in New York with her sister and lived there. And then in 2021, 66 years later, they finally took that arrest off her record.
My. And see, all through the years, we've been taught that it was Rosa Parks.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right. Yes. But it was Claudette Colvin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And last two I'm going to mention for the adults, Just As I Am by Cicely Tyson.
Oh.
Cicely Tyson, who was 96 when she died last year. Her book, her autobiography, was published just 2 months before she died. And it is full of her struggles with racism and poverty and lack and how she became a great actress. She went from being a typist. She was a typist in a typing pool. And somebody told her, you ought to try to be a model. You got a lot of style. So she went to this black model agency and she got the job. And you see her on Jet, that old issues of Jet and Ebony. Cicely Tyson's there. Then while she was at the modeling agency, somebody said, oh, you just write for a part somebody wants in this movie. And she said, you must be crazy. I've never even been to a movie.
Oh, my goodness.
But she went and she got that part. And she decided from something a reporter said, what kind of part she would take. She wouldn't take just any part.
Yeah.
After she was in Sounder. You know, she was in Sounder.
Yeah.
Some reporter asked her on an interview, he said, how come the little boy in the movie, the little black boy, called his father dad? I didn't know black people call their parents mommy and daddy. That's what my children call me.
Oh my goodness.
He was surprised.
And so Sisley said she realized that ignorance was really not just him.
Yeah.
He would take parts that show strong black women and strong families, like in the autobiography of Jane Pittman and Roots and The Help. And even How to Get Away with Murder. She was in that last TV series with Viola.
Yeah, I remember.
So that's why she took those kind of parts, to show us how we really are. And the last one I'm going to tell you about is Becoming by Michelle Obama.
Oh, yeah.
That's her autobiography. She shows how she became, how she started off on the south side of Chicago with a dad that had MS and a mom that was a housekeeper. And they struggled all the way to become the first lady of the United States.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
Yes, so those
indeed. Are all excellent books for adults that we discuss in our book group. And I recommend highly.
I would recommend them too.
If you haven't read them, pick one up. They are excellent books.
I am interested. Now, you know, we're going to have to wrap it up, but now...
Wait a minute. Oh, I took up all the time.
But that's okay. That's okay.
Let's throw mine out and get past some time. She got some children's books about
No, but what I'm going to do is continue this into next week.